Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Gila Weber.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment. The Bay Area Betches. Betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Ellie Grant. The Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The Incredible Edible Matthews Sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey friends, what's going on? This is Ben from Watch What Crappens. As many of you guys know, that Ronnie and I record this show remotely over Skype, and just a heads up on this week's episode, we had some connectivity issues, so occasionally Ronnie will just sort of dissolve out here and there, and we tried to stop and fix it a few times, and then we just said, whatever, we're plowing forward. So thanks for your patience, and enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. It's a cartoon on YouTube. Please subscribe, it helps a lot. And joining me, as usual, is the wonderful and hilarious and charismatic Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, which just wrapped up its latest season. So congratulations on that.
Hey, don't have to say that anymore. That's dead to me. It's over. Who cares? It's done. I don't believe in love.
Either way, people should subscribe to that also. Subscribe to everything. Hi, everyone. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
So good.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great day. It's just a Monday. Just took some eye boogers out.
Yeah.
We're on TV Party today, so hi, TV Party.
Hi, TV Party.
If you guys
want
to watch us on TV Party, go over to TV Party. We live stream a couple times a week, and if you want backups, if you can't make it to the live streams, they're on Patreon, okay?
It's as simple as that.
Crappens on demand. Go look at it, okay?
Yeah. So guess what? Next week, we're going to Portland and Phoenix. So, come see us. It's, as simple
week.
As... Just, come. Just come. We went to Phoenix last year and we had a great time, and everyone's like, you gotta come back when it's not the longest day of the year. I'm turning everyone into Jerry Seinfeld's nemesis from Hamptons. You gotta see the
baby.
I know,
who talked like that in Phoenix?
No, everyone's like, you gotta come back when it's not blazing hot out. So guess what? We are.
Yeah.
So we're there next week. Really excited to go back there. Everyone showed us such a fun time there last time around. So come see us. If you didn't see us last time, well, don't miss out. And then Portland, all our PNW Geraldines, those are our Pacific Northwest Geraldines. Geraldines are our listeners. So we're going to have a fun time. So go to watchacrappens.com for that. And then and by the way, thank you, everyone. We finally sold out that Boston show. So that's sold out. So thank you, everyone. I don't really have anything else to say beyond that.
Good.
Right?
Wrap it up. Let's get started.
Yeah, we got a big show today. Today we're going to talk about Project Runway and Real Housewives of Atlanta. And let's just dive in with some Proj runs, shall we?
Okay, Project Runway. You know, I appreciate that they give a lot more money than the Top Chef winners get. That's really nice. They get $250,000 on this show. I think that's really nice. But don't try and still make it look like it's a network show where you're giving them real money, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to make it look better than it is. And they're like, if you win this, then they show a magazine cover with Lady Gaga. You do not win Lady Gaga, okay? I call that false advertising. You're trying to make your stupid erasable pens look better, Project Runway, and I'm on to you.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, I just find it so funny that this show, it's that the big prize is furnished by pens. I don't know, it's perfectly fine. Why should pens be any worse than Pellegrino on Top Chef? But for some reason, there's just something that seems so rinky-dink about that.
Yeah, erasable pens. I mean,
erasable.
That's as rinky-dink as you get.
It's like Eraser Mate. It's like what I used in sixth grade when I thought it was so cool. And then you,
even those electronic pencils, I remember my mom bought us those. She's like, oh my God, these are like pencils, but better. No, they're not. They suck. Those things still suck to this day.
Those things are absolutely the worst. And you know what? I used to love an erasable pen, but here's what happens. When you write with an erasable pen, you sort of think you're erasing it, and you do. You sort of make smudges everywhere, and then what happens is, after like 2 minutes, you look at your hand, and this whole part right by your pinky going down to like the butt of your hand, it's blue! You take on the ink. It doesn't go away.
Yeah, and at least pencil ink is like lead, and that's, you know, that's like a lovely artistic cancer that gives you. Lord knows what fucking pens are giving you.
Yeah.
The point is, hi, we're on our second week of Project Runway. And the guy who's supposed to be the rocker, he even has like kind of a Freddie Bohemian Rhapsody. What's his name?
What's wrong Freddie with Mercury?
Me? Yeah, he has kind of a Freddie Mercury overbite kind of thing when he talks. And I'm like, okay, Freddie.
Which one is that? Who's supposed to be the rocker? Is that Garrow Sparrow?
Argo or Garvo or
it's probably Garrow Sparrow, right?
Garrow Sparrow. Yeah, he's supposed to be the rocker. And he's wearing like a skin-tight lace see-through shirt or whatever, which, I mean, look, Garrow, I don't approve. I don't like a rhyming name. I don't like your shirt. You seem nice, but what kind of rocker are you when you walk in and you say, God?
You know what's funny? You just fully cut out when you said that. And you know, that's okay, because you said, what sort of rocker can you be when you come in and say, oh, God, now he's disconnected. Here we go. Oh, God. You're back?
Yeah.
Oh.
I never left. What's wrong with you?
You left. Although, but you know what, though? I got disconnected from TV Party. Hold on, everyone. Sending the request. We're normalizing. Maybe I left. Maybe I was the one who left, which is rude because I'm plugged into Ethernet, and I feel like there should be, like, it's just like me and the Ethernet right now. There should be no interruptions. Anyway, the point is this. Garrow Sparrow, you're a rocker, but your last name is Sparrow. So, like, tell me how that works. I mean, I know that there's Sam Sparrow, but he's like
unless
emo.
Unless it's like a drug addict Sparrow.
Yeah, I just feel like if your last name is Sparrow, you do the Sam Sparrow thing, which is you do like emo electronic music. You don't say you're a rocker, okay? No, Sparrows are rockers.
Yeah, that's too nice of a name, and you're cold. Whatever, rocker. You're fake rocker.
I'm glad we figured that out. So meanwhile, yeah, they're all waking up in their, like, wherever they are, whatever place they are. And the first thing that I noticed, Tessa, who won last week, she is wearing a shirt that is like quote unquote nude color, but there's like also a black bra on the top of it. But the bra is not, it's not like a bra. It's actually part of the shirt. It's like a pattern. I hate it.
Yeah, it's terrible. She's wearing like a Simpsons, like if she was a dress up theme character at a theme park, like a Simpsons Marge wears a bikini to work or whatever. Yeah. Like, what are you wearing? Why are you wearing this? Is this supposed to be ironic? I thought Hester Prynne was supposed to wear shit like that. Or yeah, Hester Rainbow or whatever
Hester
the fuck her name
dumbass.
Is.
But here's the thing, is that like, not only is it like a stupid, like, oh look, it's a bra, but it's on there. But it also is like, just didn't flatter her complexion, didn't show her off nicely. It was just like terrible, and it bothered me the entire episode.
Yeah, me too. It bothered me, and also guess what else bothered me? Her bangs. Can't take it.
The bangs are okay.
I can't take it, okay? And I don't hate bangs usually. I usually suggest that people get bangs, but for some reason with people who choose to get bangs to go on TV, it means they're evil. I don't know why, but it's Kenley. Do you remember Kenley? Kenley.
Bangs. Yeah. Okay? Bangs. I don't mind bangs. I don't mind bangs, and I don't mind her bangs. A lot of times I think actually bangs close off someone. People like to get bangs to be cool. But a lot of times I feel like it's sort of like, it's like a little, you know what, it's like shades that are coming down, about to close everything off. And I feel like a lot of times they close someone's personality off. But I actually have no problem with it. Oh, by the way, your TV Party situation.
I know. Let's just not talk about it. I went off. You have.
I can't help but talk about what happens in
front
of me.
Let's try not to talk about it, because the people who aren't here are going to get so freaking annoyed that we keep saying, TV Party, TV Party.
I know. I'm like a child. I can't help but like discuss what's actively happening in front of me.
Just
you know this.
Me.
Like a bunch of like parrots go by. And I'm like, guys, they're parrots. And no one cares. Anyway, here's the first
request.
Here's the first twist of this week's episode. Afa, who is our favorite queen from last week, he's like, I'm on the phone with my wife and I miss my baby. And I was like, okay.
I know. I think everybody was like, wait, what?
I was like, okay. And then I saw he lives in Utah, and I started to put some things together, but I'm just going to like, just let it be. I'm just going to let that one be. But I was like,
There's a lot of...
Huh. I don't know.
And I was like, why does he sound like a cow that just got harpooned, you know? And then it's like he's talking to his wife. And I was like, well, there's another shocking thing. And I was like, but why is he talking to his wife like that? And then they had a baby. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like so many twists and turns right in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, it was it definitely like it got into my head a little bit. I was really had a hard time trying to grasp what was truly going on.
Well, here's what I've learned in 2019. Well, I've learned it before, but by 2019, I've learned that you can just identify however the fuck you want. And I just say, okay, that's great. Good for you.
Yeah.
Straight? Good. Are you a, you know, identify as whatever? I really don't care. I support you. So that's what I say to him. Now, here's one thing that is hard for me to support with him. His gardener hat that he wears. That's like his thing, his big straw hat. I can't with that because it reminds me of the leaf blower outside. And I hate that leaf blower. Every time I see a straw hat, I know a leaf blower is coming.
Well, maybe he identifies as a hattist, okay?
Okay, then I accept it.
Yeah.
Now that you explained it to me that way.
I accept it, too. I accept it, and I support it. I just have to say, it surprised me, and I think I'm allowed to be surprised in life.
Oh, yeah, I'm not calling you any names. I'm just saying how I mean, look, I'm friends with a total bigot. Does that make me a total bigot? I don't know. I support it.
It might. I don't know.
Another thing that I love and support is COVID dancing around all the time, and his bipolar nature is so cute to me because he's like probably undiagnosed, you know, he doesn't know what it is. And people are like, he's just emotional. No, he's bipolar. Okay. Yeah. Probably too. That's my guess.
I also feel like he has bad breath. You know, I feel like I can imagine being at a cocktail party with him, and then he's like speaks closely and has bad breath, and you just like, he's so nice and he's so sweet, so you want to support him and you want to talk with him, but at the same time you're like, oh, he has bad breath, so I have to get to the other side.
Why do you think that?
It's just it's one of, you know, I feel like there are some things in life that I have a really good instinct on, and one of them is people having bad breath. And I think that's just like, I just see it all over him. I see it. I smell it. I smell it in advance. And I'm sorry. And it's nothing about his personality, because sometimes it's just a genetic thing, you know? Like, sometimes some people just have halitosis. And I do feel like he probably has it. And it's a shame, because he's so lovely.
It's a shame. So he's dancing around, and he's like, I don't know what is so different today. Today, I dancy-dancy! And he's, like, dancing around, and he's talking about, like, how he was so cry before, but now he's, like, in a great mood. And I was like, five. 4, 3,
yeah.
Breakdown a coming. Just like, you know, when a girl on Project Runway has bangs, that she's an asshole.
Yeah.
When a guy is dancing around and talking about how positive he is, you know he's gonna cry by the end of the episode.
That's
you just
true.
Know it.
And you know, by the way, I think I missed part of your theory, which is like, I thought you were just sort of talking about bangs in general, but bangs on Project Runway, I 100% am on board with your theory.
There's
yes.
something about
bangs
Project
on Project Runway,
bang.
Not good. It's always going to be a problem.
I know people in real life, they're not like that, but there's something about reality TV bangs. It's like a sign.
Yeah, it's a sign.
It's like girls who collect berets on reality TV. That's just probably in real life, too.
Yeah.
But Esther, whatever. Come on, Rainbow. Come on, Rainbow. Randy Rainbow with Stupid. Your beret. Stop.
So the designers all go to this workroom, which I'm still like not, I still haven't fully given myself over to the new workroom, you know, because I was also watching Project Runway All-Stars, which is airing simultaneously on Lifetime, and that's in the old style, and I just like the old workroom. It just was so oppressive, and I feel like this version, the aesthetic changes they've made, make the show feel more like a reality show rather than a show where you're watching designers compete and it happens to be on TV. You know, like, this feels more reality showy. I mean, I'm still in it. I'm still going to watch it, etc. But, like, this doesn't help, which is that they walk in and their workroom is full of, like, smoke. And there are a bunch of models in boxes staring at them like it's some weird, like, high-fashion version of the Haunted Mansion.
Yes. Well, first off, I like the workroom. I think it looks like Anthropology. And I love an Anthropology.
I
love
Anthropology.
A new doorknob. Okay, I love a new doorknob that doesn't fit any doors. Because that's how Anthropology doorknobs are. I bought, like, five. I've invested probably $300 in Anthropology doorknobs. Do they ever fit a door? Not one. Not one has ever fit a door.
Anthropology is probably one of my least favorite stores. I think my least favorite store is Sephora, to be honest.
They're not even the same, except no, that I know, when I go there.
But like the misery I feel in them, I think it's because I get dragged into both of those stores. And so when you get dragged into a store that you don't want to be in, you know, because I'm always with someone who's like, oh, can we just go on to Anthropology real quickly? Can we just please go into Sephora real quickly? And I was like, because you know, if I said, hey, can we please go into Best Buy? They'd be like, no, Ben, you know, but I go with them into Anthropology.
Well, I like it. I love a sweater. Okay, so I approve of Anthropology. But yeah, it was like a bunch of decapitated models in there, which, you know, interesting choice.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to watch gross things while I eat, and I was eating pasta while I watch this. And I know it's not inherently gross, but it's gross. It's like decapitated models. And then I started thinking about that. And then they have all this shit all over them, which are like body modifications. And this guy comes on, and he's like, from A Human or whatever it's called. And he's like, body modifications are the new jewelry or whatever, where people are going to start putting shit under their skins and making horns under their, you know what? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No. So apparently Kim Kardashian West has worn the human glow, and Chrissy Teigen made human feathers, all these silicone prosthetics. I'm like, I'm not going to say this is stupid because then watch, it becomes a whole big thing. But for right now, I'm like, really, is this really what our second challenge is going to be about? Prosthetic, yeah, like body weird, like Hellboy prosthetics. No.
Well, I would have been more into it if they were actually designing body prosthetics. You know, They had to make them and they had like special effects people that would help them, kind of like that FX show. I really like that.
Yeah, that was a cool show.
But designing around people's prosthetics bugs me, because it's like, you're the one who chose to have shoulder horns. Why should everybody else have to design sweaters for your stupid shoulder horns? Okay. It makes me mad. It makes me mad about the future of shopping.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah, exactly. Like, do designers design around other accessories? I don't think so. I think you sort of assemble your accessories based on the garments.
Yeah, I don't feel like designers should have to design for people who have wings coming out of their boobs. First of all, that's a terrible placement of wings, okay? There's a reason God put them on the other side.
Yeah. I thought, like, of those prosthetics, the necklace thing was fine because it was like a necklace. And I didn't mind the little sort of, like, there were weird, I think they called them scaffolding on the back or something like that. That was okay. But,
well, I got a flashlight and I put it under my stomach and tried to make it shine through. I was like totally body modding myself over here at my house. Didn't work. I have very thick fat.
Oh, I'm sorry. So Simon, the guy who, Simon Huck, is like, a futuristic fashion line comprised of body modifications. And I was like, ugh. At which point, Hester is like, I love body modifications.
Yeah.
I was going to let you tell about
Hester. You.
Oh, I was going like, to let you do. I know you were excited about the Hester thing, so I was just going to let you do the Hester part. I was going to tee you up.
No, Hester is so annoyed. She's like, I have body mods. And I'm like, oh, really? Where's your vampire teeth? Or where's your little horns that come out the back of your neck? Because, you know, people do have body mods. And she's like, I had my lip pierced once. I was like, that is not a body mod, Hester.
I know. Please. Please. You know, I'm just really sick of Hester. I was already mad at her going into the episode, and I just got angrier and angrier as the episode went on. And it just, you know, like, I know that her fashion point of view is, like, whimsical sense of humor, but I honestly don't think her thing is, I don't think she's whimsical or has a sense of humor. I think she dresses like she's on a Nick Jr. show.
Yeah, there's nothing whimsical about an ice cream truck. I'll tell you that right now, okay? Stop saying whimsy for everyone.
Yeah, I don't think she knows what she's doing.
You're just
doing
ridiculous. You collect little girls' berets from Justice, okay? I have no respect for you, Hester. Try harder. Read a book.
So the designers are going to be split into teams of three, and then they are going to pull out of the bun bag, and because everything's like new and improved, the bun bag is like this like rectangle of, it's a box, it's like a clear box. Everyone's like, ooh, fancy button bag. And Carly Kloss is like, yeah, we're like all improved here. I'm Carly Kloss.
Yeah, it's a new Project Runway. Got excited, people. Like, who picked you? Who did you audition for, okay?
And she's married to a Kushner, too, which is just... It's just like it breaks my brain.
Gosh, it's time to go to a commercial. Ah, Craig.
So, the teams are split up based on their body modifications. So we have Team Shoulder Horns, which is Garrelsbarrel, Hester, and Nadine. We have Neck Ruffles, which is my least favorite kind of potato chip. That is Afa, Sebastian, and Tessa. We have
Neck Ruffles are disgusting. That looks like a straight up skin tag, those Neck Ruffles. That is nasty, okay? Yeah.
By the way, speaking of potato chips, this weekend, someone brought over potato chips that were dill pickled flavored. They were amazing.
Are good.
That's like my new favorite flavor. Amazing. It's like the fun of salt and vinegar, but with like an added pizzazz. Okay, so
Was there whimsy added? Please add some whimsy to that. Thanks.
There was a little bit of whimsy. I mean, I think pickles are sort of inherently whimsical.
No, they're not, Hester. She's like, look, I'm whimsical. She's wearing like a pickle hat. No, Hester.
So, back scaffolding is Leela, Venny, and Bishme. Chest feathers is Kovid, Renee, and Frankie. And necklace is Sonia, Rakeen, and Jamal. And the reason why I'm saying all these teams is because I took the time to write it down. So, I want my effort rewarded.
Right. Sometimes I just have to question myself while I'm taking notes. Like, what are you doing with your life, Kay?
Yeah.
So, he's like, these designs and statements. These designs are statements, and your designs should not cover up the statements, okay? Because he's like a gay Ramona. Hey, don't want your designs to cover up the statements, okay? I was like, okay, like, who's going to be dumb enough to cover up the wings on the chest? Like, I think they know that, sir, then, of course, they didn't know that at all.
Exactly. It's like, who's going to be dumb enough? Well, don't underestimate this cast.
Yeah,
I'm like not convinced that any of them know how to sew, to be honest.
Actually, I think people are looking pretty good. I mean, Sebastian knows his shit.
Which one's Sebastian again?
The one who wins.
Oh yeah, Sebastian was. You know, so obviously some of them are really good, but like overall, it's kind of like wow, it's a little rough. So yeah, so now it's time for like to do sketching, and Hester's like, I want to do a soft tool, and I want to do a hard tool. And Nadine just looks at her like, are you kidding me?
God.
Two tools.
Yeah. I want soft tool on top of hard tool on top of tool, which is tool. Okay? I was like, oh, no, Hester. And no one likes this. And Garrow's like, you don't have to do tool everywhere, okay? You can have little windows of not tool.
And she's like,
no.
And like, by not tool, do you mean more tool? Okay, I'm down with that.
Yeah. She's like, I've learned before with collaboration. Like, I worked at Betsy Johnson, Kate Spade. I'm like, those are so different. I have a feeling this girl was, like, sewing purses. But then her point is she doesn't collaborate. I'm like, well, that explains why you're here now.
Yeah, she was also probably an intern fetching coffee. Okay, let's be honest.
It's like the other... Working with other designers makes me feel threatened that I'm not going to get my voice heard. I'm like, your voice is heard, okay?
Yeah, your voice is heard, seen, and honestly, it's been rejected. Also, I also thought what was funny is that all the teams are like, you know, they're all like brainstorming ideas, sort of Top Chef style, and they're all like leaning on their little tables to talk, and the models are still in their little cubby holes, so they're all talking, and the model's head is like right in front of them, which I just thought was so awkward that these models just had to stand there like while these people are in their face with like pencils and stuff. It's like, do you realize there's a human head right on your workstation?
Yes, and did you notice that the poor big girl model, that girl cannot catch a break, okay?
She really
can't. Thank God that they're giving different sizes and stuff this year. I like that. But that poor girl, it's like everyone complains about her every single time. It's like, I can't design for you! And they're supposed to be nice, and they're saying it right to her face. And this time she got shamed for losing weight. Because this time, COVID at her. He's like, you got skinny. Why? What did you do? It's like, well, last week I'm getting bitched at by people because I'm too big. And now you're bitching at me that I lost a pound. Fuck you guys, you know? Yeah,
seriously. So Tessa's team. Tessa, like, takes over her team. She's sort of just, like, immediately, like, bossing everyone around. And I'm Afa at some point. He says something like, if I use sequiny material, would that not be nighttime? Or I don't know, whatever he asked. Tessa goes, I'm not feeling it. And he's like, feeling what? And she goes, all of it. I'm not feeling all of it. Like, listen, bra shirt,
Yeah, listen, Marge Simpson at the beach.
See, I said last week, I was like, she won last week. And remember last week when we were recapping this, I was like, she sounds nice, but everything she says is so bitchy. And watch, her bitch flower is blooming prematurely. Like, it's happening now.
Well, on Project Runway, you don't get two seasons. So yeah. It blooms like by the second episode. It's a different rule.
They have bitch weeds. They just pop up quickly.
She's been horrible from the beginning because she smiles at people like this. Mm-hmm. Like with her head raised, like that she's above you. And then bangs. And then she also does this thing I noticed today where whenever Christian comes in or any person in authority, she starts talking in baby voice. I fucking hate that. I hate that. Every time he comes in, she's like, hi. Yeah. Like, this is not you, ma'am.
Yeah, bangs. Also, you know, last week I said I felt like Christian felt a little uptight, but this week I felt like he was back into, like, the Christian Siriano that we, like, knew and expected. I thought he was, like, much more, like, he just seemed more at ease and was, like, definitely, like, more of what I was hoping for. So I was really happy about that.
I feel like his personality is kind of like an animatronic thing at Chuck E. Cheese where he's just, like, always in nap position. And then they're like, Christian, come on. And he's like, okay. And he doesn't have a lot of energy. He just kind of comes to life and he's like, okay, here's what's up for the next challenge. I don't like that. I like that, okay. Okay, call me when you need me. And he just kind of shuts down.
Five Nights at Freddy's, whatever that game is. You know that game?
Nope.
I'm not going to go into it. It's supposed to be like the scariest game of all time. Anyway, so they all go to Mood. Ronnie, you should play that game. I want to hear what you say when you play that game. Okay, so... Busy Phillips? Can Busy Phillips play that game?
Hey, Busy Phillips, you listen to the show? Do you play Freddy and Freddy? Hey,
I'm busy Fred. Tonight. I'm busy tonight, and I'm playing Five Nights at Freddy. Hi, I'm Busy Phillips, and you'll be able to watch me play this game. Okay, that's my impersonation.
Hey, Busy, you want to come to my party? Busy tonight. It's like, I know, Busy. You got a show. Congratulations.
Busy tonight. So, I haven't seen it. I'm sure it's a great show. So now they all go to Mood, and, you know, and Christian's telling them, like, you know, by the way, like, fabric choices, like, you know, that's going to help make a collection cohesive, et cetera, et cetera. And basically, Hester, like, I'm sorry that I, like, upgraded her name there. Hester, and I apologize to all the Hesters that are out there. I don't mind the name Hester. I just mind it on her. I find her annoying, so, like, Hester is just like...
Yeah, she's annoying, but I hate bullying her because Hester is such a name. It's like the numerology of Hester is, like, bully me, you know? Because, like, there's a whole book written about a whole town bullying Hester, you know?
It's like, she is, like, the ultimate, like...
the ultimate victim.
See, now, I would be down with Hester if she was just fully committing to a Hester Prynne aesthetic. She just, like, walked around in dark, puritanical robes.
Yeah,
with,
it's like with, a handmade
like, a splash of color... Perhaps in the shape of a letter A, but honestly, whatever shape she wanted. Like, if she wanted to do some Hester Prynne realness, I would be like, yes, it's about time we had this look.
Yeah, I'm down for some Hester Prynne realness, too. And, like, when she could see Wester Buns come in her bikini outfit, and she could just be like, whore, blessed be the eye under the sun, or whatever they say on Handmaid's Tale, and just get her stoned.
Yeah.
Now that's an episode of Project Runway.
I think that's the problem, is that we're having, like, cognitive dissonance with, like, her name being Hester, but her this palette is Five Nights at Freddy's. It's like, it's hard to reconcile the two, you know?
So let me see. Where are we here? Okay, so Team Frankie. Oh, wait. Were you going to say something else?
I was just going to say
Hester?
That basically...
Oh, yeah. So Hester bullies everybody. See, that's the thing. She's bullied, but she's really the bully. And that's
she
not...
She is. Exactly. She is... She stomps her feet, whatever. She needs tool. She needs two. And not only does she need tool, she needs nothing but blue tool. Blue tool, blue... She basically starts doing what... What's his face on Top Chef did? What's his name again? Who I couldn't... Eddie.
Spending all the money on
Eddie Blue money. Tool. Blue Tool, and everyone else has to make sacrifices for her fucking Blue Tool.
Yep, but they did it. You know, you can't just lay down and take it on this show.
No, you can't.
But they do. So they're all having to deal with that. And not only is it Tool, it's blue. It's like this horrible color blue. I saw online that Christian called it Ramona Blue. I didn't catch that. Did you?
I didn't hear him say that. I heard him say that it was Bridesmaid Blue, but it was totally Ramona Blue. But Ramona Blue
was
better.
Yeah, I didn't hear him say that, but I read that he said that, and I was like, oh my God, you're my hero. Yeah. Literally speak up, because I need to hear that next time you say some shit like that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Christian sees all so of many notes, tool. Right? What?
You have like 90 pages of notes. I'm just looking at my notes like, this is horrifying.
Yeah, I just kept on taking notes after notes, but they weren't all, they were just like, I took notes on spec, like, I feel like this will be important, and then a lot of them are like, no, I don't. But Christian comes up, and he sees Hester, and he goes, he's like, oh no, Hester, you're using all this blue tool? Really? All this bridemaid tool? And Garrow Sparrow is like, oh, you know.
I can't find that part. So I'm going to go to the part where... This is are where they checking out yet?
No, I mean this is all
oh, yeah,
like
here
a
it
whirlwind.
Is. Bridesmaid tool. He's like, we have no other options. And she's like, it's the only thing I understand. That's her answer to him. Blue yeah. tool. It's like the only thing I understand, Christian.
Meanwhile, she's wearing like five different patterns of 10 different colors on herself in like overalls, wacky overalls. And she can only understand blue tool. And he's like, but you have like five blue tools. He's like, you're killing me. You're killing me. It's the second episode. You can't do this to me. No.
He's like, well, what are you going to do if they don't like blue? Like, you're totally fucked. Your whole collection's going to be blue. And she's like, well, we have other stuff, too. Other blue stuff. Fucking Hester.
Fucking Hester. She's just... And the sad part is that she just gets worse from here on out.
Yeah, she doesn't get better. Although I like that she didn't go crazy on people and she ended up crying instead, which there's some interesting twists and turns in this, because I thought Hester would be like all-out villain, and she's not. She's like, oh, I'm trying to be nice, like she's
yeah
not smart
she kind of took it yeah when like because Nadine so Nadine is her this is sort of Nadine's coming out episode, because Nadine is awesome. She was is she Jamaican? I think she had a Jamaican accent of some. I think she said she's,
yeah, she's Jamaican.
So she's basically I'm gonna try to do a Jamaican accent, and I'm gonna stop if it starts to sound problematic. But she's basically I'm not even going to bother, because I don't actually have anything to do an impersonation over. I'm like, why am I going to do Jamaican accent right now? I've got nothing to say. But basically, Nadine was going to do a whole gown, and because Hester took up like so much of the budget all this tool, and they had to get back 6 yards of their other fabric, so Nadine is going to do pants instead. And I was just like, see, this is bad news. I don't know, like the gown to pants situation. I can already tell we are going downhill.
Yeah. So then Garrow Sparrow's like, having horns is hard. I was like, yeah, tell it to people with horns, okay? You're the one complaining?
Yeah, so then, rhinoceros.
So back in the workroom, Frankie is talking to her team, which is Kovide and Renee, who are both listening to Frankie, which I don't know why. Yeah. But they're like, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? And so Frankie's the first one to talk. So she's like, okay, well, I don't know what to do, but here's the story I'm going with. There's this rich socialite, and she's supposed to go to a party, and it's going to be inside, but she's going to want to go outside too. So there you go. I'm like,
great.
Day to evening.
Okay. You know what I hate on this show? Is when they are too literal with the story. When people, I always feel like it's, you know, they always say, what sort of story does this collection tell? And I feel like that's supposed to be more of an abstract thing. This is a story that tells a story of like, I think when it's supposed to tell a story of like elegance or of a sort of a modern, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. But I hate when someone gets too literal and like, well, it tells the story of a girl who was at work earlier that day and then went to a party and was like, I want some hors d'oeuvres. And then went outside because she saw a guy that she really liked and was like, I'm going to put this scarf on because I'm attracted to him. But then I went back inside. I'm like, no, it's not a literal story, Frankie. Yeah. It's not an actual
this
story.
This girl went to work and she looked really good, but then she spilled mustard on her shirt, so she had to change. And then like at lunch, she went home to change, but then she realized she cheated on her whole 30 diet. She got upset and put on some sweatpants. It's like, what?
This girl, this guy, he was like working at his office, and then like he got this like weird thing, and then like some people tried to track him down, and then some other people found him like, take a pill or take this pill. So he took that pill and he learned kung fu like overnight. I'm like, Frankie, you're talking about the Matrix.
Yeah, poor Frankie. Actually, anything we just said would have been way more interesting than her story.
Yeah, actually,
because her story was like, it's a rich lady going to a party that might be outside part of the time, like,
an indoor-outdoor experience. One of those rare evenings where you might go inside and outside.
Yeah. I'd say use your own story. I say, look, this is a girl who just got dumped. She's living in her car, but she still has to go to job interviews and the occasional cocktail party that she sneaks into at night for free food.
Yeah, but she's living in her car, so she doesn't have time. She doesn't have like a real space to change, so she has to wear something that's good for all vibes.
Yeah, there you go.
That's better. But Renee,
which actually would have been better with Garrow Sparrows, because Jamal was the one who made the sleeping bag, the comforter top. But we'll get to
that. Yeah, so Renee, I mean, Renee was in the top last week and almost won. And she's the one who has, I think, 9 kids. And her whole story, and she basically was like, listen, I've always let my kids express themselves, so I want these guys to express themselves. And I was like, mistake, because you know what? Frankie expressed herself last week, and it was a disaster. So you as the mother has to write this ship, you know, because COVID is crying, and Frankie, I mean, God bless.
We've seen what happens when you don't raise your children. We live in Los Angeles. Raise your children.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not Tell everyone needs to express themselves. Sometimes you need to express for them.
Yeah, Frankie's expressed herself. She's expressed herself enough. If that was my kid, she'd be in a dog crate with a ball gag in her mouth. Okay, you've expressed yourself enough today, young lady.
Yeah, it's like the Madonna sequel. You know, maybe go for second place, baby, and don't express yourself.
Express yourself another day when you're not a team with me. Express yourself. Not today, please, God, not today. I don't want to lose because you suck. Hey. Okay, so let's see. Then Neck Ruffles, Team Neck Ruffles, which is just hideous. It looks like earwax. It looks like an earwax sculpture. I can't.
I don't even remember what it looked like. I just remember being like,
It looked like a plantar wart under a microscope. That's what
Wow, that's descriptive. And it's like it's plantar wart chic.
Yeah,
plantar wart. It's the look of the future. This is what fashion is going to look like 5 minutes from now. Plantar wart chic. You ever look at the bottom of your foot? Fashion.
Oh, so then we get to Sebastian, who's just being bossed around left and right by Bangs.
Bangs and bra.
She's like always thinking about herself, making him do everything, bossing everyone around, coming up with shit that she has the idea but she can't execute. So Sebastian has to do it. And he's like, when it comes to working, I'm more of a follower, but I want my own career. Okay, Tessa. He just keeps working for Tessa. So by the end of it, he doesn't have anything. And then what he does have, Tessa comes over. She's like, no, those waves look like it's pointing to a vagina and they're going to hate this. So redo it. He's like, what the hell?
He's like, okay, yes, ma'am. So then meanwhile, Tessa, I guess, is bored. She decides that she's going to be like a reality show hostess. She goes, what do you guys, how do people define the future of fashion? So Hester's like, oh, well, I mean, I think the future is now, and in 5 years, it's going to be like this. And you just hear Nadine saying, you're spending too much time talking. You need to work.
Yeah. Like, Nadine's like, less talking, more worky, Hef.
And what I liked was that, I think this is what you were getting to before, was that I thought it was going to be a moment of tension where Hester would be like, fuck her. But she was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah, she's like, I can't stop talking.
But also, like, what she was saying was so I think that's why Nadine shut her up, too. It's like, if you're not going to say something interesting, then you should be sewing. Because like, I think the future is now and in 5 years. Shut up, Hester.
That's not how your beret works. Is saying enough. Be quiet over there, Hester.
You've said the future enough. Of Chuck E. Cheese.
So, let's see. Leela. God, there's so many twists. Because Leela looks like she'll be a total bimbo, right? Because she's, like, really gorgeous and she's really nice. And
doing eco-conscious.
And it just throws me off.
Yeah.
But she turns out to be pretty talented. But they're kind of breaking a lot of stereotypes on the show, which I like. But she's like, you know what? Here's how I feel about women. Women like to make a statement when they walk in, but they also like to make a statement as they're leaving. It's like, okay, thanks, Leela.
Yeah, great. That's almost as compelling as Frankie's story.
Yeah, and then Bishmay, who's listening to her, is like, you know what? I wish I didn't wear such a tight shirt today so I could take off my jacket.
I think you all understood that pain.
Yep.
We all know it. Yeah. So now it's the next morning, unless there was something else that was – it was just sort of like a flurry of, you know how it is on Project Runway.
Garrow's pissed off that Tessa's bossing – you know, that Tessa's being so bossy and fucking up Sebastian, but that's pretty it.
But in the end, though, it actually like – you know, it worked out.
Another twist.
Yeah.
I totally thought Sebastian was outsies after this one.
Yeah, exactly. So the next morning we see COVID's like praying in the corner or singing or doing something. And then they go to their workroom and Sebastian's just like, he's going to be selfish today and he's not going to help his teammates. Meanwhile, fast forward to like 5 minutes from now, he's like, by the way, I made you a purse.
There's a bee in my house.
Ronnie, be safe. Be safe. Huh? Get it? Be safe. Huh? Be strong. Why is there a bee in your house? I'm watching. I know we said we were going to talk about TV party, but
when I was walking the dog, I have there's a garden outside, so there's tons of bees. Oh, you know, God. You know, if I get stung, I will cry, okay?
You won't get stung. Don't do anything rash. Apparently, when we were in South by Southwest, we missed, like, the most amazing butterfly migration in Los Angeles.
Whatever. Okay.
Bee in
your bonnet. I'm not going to be sad about that. Something I missed.
No.
I'm, like, terrified I'm going to get eaten by a bee.
You'll be okay.
Okay, so let's see. So, yeah, so they start going back over, and COVID is prancing around, literally prancing around. Okay, I'm not being rude. So he's prancing around, and he's like, I feel like so woman today.
Yeah.
This is going to be an amazing day. He's like, I'm so inspired by women because where I'm from, they're oppressed for no reason, and I want to create armor for women. I'm like, this is America. We could all use a little armor at this point.
Yeah.
I'm for this design.
And then COVID says something that when he says this, we then know immediately that they're going to be in the bottom. He's like, you know what? I had anxiety about today, but you know what? I realized Renee was in the top two and Frankie has mad sewing skills. So what the hell am I worried about? I'm like, Frankie does not have mad sewing skills. Her dress was literally falling apart as she was talking last week. She touched it and, like, straps came out. She has no mad sewing skills.
He's so cute.
Yeah, he is really cute, but
he's like a dancy, dancy.
So now Christian makes another tour. He comes walking through. He's very bird-like, which I enjoy. It's like a little, it's like an adorable pigeon walking through and casting judgment.
And his glasses are always half down. He presses them, like, to just right half to his nose. And he's like, I'm nervous, guys. Really nervous.
Yeah. And he's telling, like, I think it was the necklace people. Was it the necklace people? That their fabric looked old. They looked like old costumes or whatever. He was good. He was starting to get his snarky edge back. Shaming them, etc.
Well, should we go over to what they ended up making?
Trying to think if there was anything interesting here that
basically the Hester freaks out because Christian's like, no, I told you no, this looks stupid, this tool looks overworked, all your shit looks crazy now.
Yeah,
so she's like, okay, I'm gonna listen to Christian and I'm cutting a bunch of this tool, but I need this fabric. And Nadine's like, dude, you made me not buy the fabric so that you could buy the tool, and now I only have this much fabric. And so Nadine is pissed. She's so pissed. But she ends up giving it to her.
Yeah.
You know, not without bitching about it the whole time, but I don't blame her.
I would be furious. Because basically what happened was that when Christian came over to the Shoulder Horns, which is their Hester's group, he's like, oh, so what's the story? So here we go, another story. And Hester's like, well, these are three sisters who all inherited a rare genetic trait, and that is where they all got their power from. It's like,
what does that mean?
What does that mean? And who said they had power just because they had the shoulder horns, okay? And that's when Christian's like, well, you picked colors and fabrics that always go to that dated bridesmaid thing, and it's, like, not future, and it's not interesting. And then Hester's like, oh, crap, this isn't good. I'm like, yeah, you're right, it isn't good. He told you at Mood, don't do this. And now he's telling you again, and now you're like, oh, no, this isn't good. Stupid Hester. Yeah. So now this is when she switches to be like, okay, Nadine, I need your fabric. And Nadine's like, no, like, I need that fabric. She's like, I need it. And Nadine's like, well, I don't want the team to tank, so here, you can take the fabric.
Yeah, because at first she's like, oh, hell no. No way. But then she ends up giving it to her.
Yeah.
So then let's see here. The models come in, and this is where COVID's like, oh my God, you're skinnier. This doesn't fit. No dancy dancy. It's like the opposite of dancy. He's like, city, 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 city.
Yeah, it isn't fitting. And then Christian comes by to Hester again. And now Hester has you know, modify whatever her disaster is, she's modified it with this new material, maybe. And Christian just looks at Hester's and goes, is that staying? And Hester goes, I hate this material. I'm like, ugh. So now she decides, as you said before, now is when she decides to go heavy back on her tool. This is after she's cut up all of Nadine's material. Nadine's like, Freddy Krueger over there cut up all my fabric into strips and didn't use it.
And she's like, I guess I'm Freddy Krueger now. And she tries not to cry.
Yeah, that's the best part, that Nadine said that right in front of Hester. It's not like she said that in the confessional. She said it. She's like, Freddy Krueger over there.
Yeah, now would be the time, Hester, to pull out your lip tattoo that you got with a frowny face on it. Because she's like, here's another body mod, a tattoo on my lip. So when I need to frown, I was like, why don't you just frown?
Why don't you just frown? Easier? It's more effort to actually put your fingers on your lip and pull it down.
Yeah. Also, that's not a body mod either, stupid.
Yeah, that's just like a stupid.
I shouldn't call people stupid. That's not nice.
That isn't nice. But no one ever said we were a nice podcast. So, COVID is now crying because his bodice isn't working. And Hester's crying at her sewing machine. And Nadine's just sitting there. She just goes, this is irritating. She's like, why? Why am I on this show right now with these dumb-dumbs?
She goes, this is embarrassing, honestly. Okay. And then Hester's like, I can't even undo it. It's so ugly. I literally, I can't. And Frankie's like, I'll hug you. So they're crying, and Nadine's like, ridiculous! From the back.
Shut up, Freddy Krueger, and get back to work.
Freddy Krueger, don't cry.
This is what happens when you take Freddy Krueger out of his sweater.
So the next day, COVID prays to a plant. I don't know how that's going to help him. You know, maybe there's some miracle grow in it or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
But he's praying to a plant. And then Garo, I guess is what I mean by Faro. This chunky wheat. This chunky wheat.
This bag of grain walks and is like, hey, did you guys start the challenge without me? Keen, what is happening?
This meaty grain says.
this perfectly delightful grain.
He's like, I'm excited for the end of this. I've been working with celebrities and high-end people, and if I go home because I've had to babysit, I'm going to be really pissed. It's like, oh, okay. I've worked with celebrities. Ooh.
Congratulations, Garo Sparrow. So the models are in again, and Frankie, now it's time for Frankie. We were like, oh, just we thought like, oh, this is going to be Hester's episode to be terrible, but guess what? Now Frankie hates her fabric, and she's like, if I wind up in front of the judges a second time, that's not going to work. So she decides to redo her skirt, and she's gonna make a pleather skirt, which I feel like a pleather skirt is always I always say, I'm not a fashion gay, but my instinct says if your emergency go-to is a pleather skirt, I feel like that's bad news.
It's bad because also COVID's doing that too, because he didn't have time to do any bottoms, and Christian's like, you literally have nothing on the bottom, you know, you have to have something on the bottom, right? He's like, I'll make a skirt. So he goes to make a skirt. So now it's two half-assed last minute skirts. Yeah.
And COVID though has lost his will to live or something. He just is shell shocked or something. And so he's just standing around. They're like, hey, COVID, there's literally, your model has nothing to wear on the bottom half of her body. He's like, I know. They're like, no. Why are you standing there? You have to do something. He's like, okay. COVID.
He's like, he freezes. He's like, okay. And then he moves over there. They're like, move over there. He's like, okay. He cries. They're like, stop crying. He's like, okay.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Sebastian has decided just to make a handbag for Tessa. Just like, okay, I'm just going to cash
this. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. A little Ann Getty's purse. It's so cute.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. So now it's makeup, runway time. So now it's time for the runway.
Okay. So runway. So Carly comes in. I don't know how she's judging anything. She's wearing some Esprit underwear with a see-through turtleneck smock, like she's about to get her hair done, in bad shoes. I don't know who dressed Carly, but this is not working. Okay.
Yeah, she, I don't even remember what she was wearing. I just know her
it was terrible,
her Cheshire grin. Hi models, or hi designers. So
messy, yeah. Hair, none of it worked. Okay.
Yeah. So now it's runway time, and so first comes the back scaffolding people. Who,
oh God, help me!
I only wrote looks good.
Okay, who's first?
I think the back scaffold. I don't.
First
know
who's... is Venny. Okay, so he had. Yeah, they have the back. He made a turtle. It's a choker collar, and then just a simple shoulder. You know, yeah. Shoulderless dress with an Orange County cut down the center, and then ruffles coming down the boob side, one boob side. I didn't get it.
You know, by the way, the back scaffolding people, I think, had the advantage because it was the least, I felt it was the least obtrusive. It wasn't horns that popped up. And on top of that, to be able to do a backless dress or to do a series of backless items is I think fairly standard, and it's innately dramatic. So I feel like they actually had an advantage.
Well, this girl, the model, Venny's model, actually has shoulder horns of her own because she's got, like, she's so skinny, she's got, like, bones sticking out of her shoulders.
Yeah, natural
horns. She could have been on Team Shoulder Horns. Okay, so next.
Could have been. Could have, would have. Well, speaking next, of which is Shoulder Horns. Oh, no, sorry, now you're doing next model.
Yes, is it's either Leela or Bishmi. I don't know which.
You know what happened was... Oh, it's Bishmi. I was watching this Friday night, and I dozed off at this point, and then, like, I picked it up again the next morning. So I don't start to remember things until Shoulder Horns, which is the next
one. Okay, well, he made... This is interesting, because he made... He's the one who has big, long, kind of, like, layered, ruffly-type sleeves, like, kind of pinata sleeves. Yeah. And then it looks like a jacket, but it's not, and it has this, these pointy shoulder horns, which is weird, because he doesn't have shoulder horns.
Yeah.
Oh, these people it's are... Weird. But it's nice. It's, like, really futuristic. And then Leela does a really nice thing where she kind of replicates the wings, but on the front.
Uh-huh.
And it's prettily sewn, but, I mean, she looks like she has wings coming out the front of, I don't know... She looks like a leaf that somebody stepped on, but in a pretty way.
Yeah. Because that's, you know, that's a pretty look, stepped on leaf.
Yeah, a leaf that got stepped on.
Yeah.
Then we have...
Shoulder horns.
I think Hester.
Yeah, this is shoulder horns time. So Hester's, I think, comes out first. Hester's model looked like she was TP'd, okay? It looked like right before this happened, a bunch of teenagers showed up and wrapped her model up in toilet paper.
I think it looks like a demon milkmaid. It looks like the Swiss Miss girl with horns coming out of her. It's the weirdest Swiss Miss blue. It's even blue and white, kind of like Alice in Wonderland. Swiss Miss, whichever you will. Although I do like chocolate milk, and I don't like Hester. So I'm confused now. What do I do?
Also, the thing is that, like, you know, none of Hester's, like, point of view has come through in either of her designs so far this season, right? Like, whimsical... fashion, whatever her thing is, whimsical comedy.
Demonic Swiss Miss maid comes through. I feel like that's pretty much her.
I don't know.
It's like just it should be delicious chocolate milk, and it's frothy and fun, and then it chokes you to death.
I just don't know where her fashion POV, how that translates to anything that she's made so far.
Yeah, it'll probably transfer into poverty. Yeah. Okay, so then we go to Nadine, who, this could have been pretty, but it didn't turn out very well.
Yeah,
she used satin, and it was all bunched. And she knew it, too. She's like, I didn't realize satin was going to show every bad thing.
Yeah, it just looked sloppy and cheap, unfortunately.
Then who? Let's see.
Garrow.
We have Garrow Sparrow.
It's
like a regular, tight, off-the-shoulder dress.
It was, like, fine. It was forgettable. And he liked his look, which I guess is the most important thing. I'm sure he probably likes all of his looks, though.
Yeah. His name is Sparrow.
Yeah. And then when
he
it
gave himself a rhyming name, I'm sure he's very pleased with whatever he does.
And then when the shoulder horns left the runway, Brandon was like, well, that certainly was interesting. I'm like, well, there was also shoulder horns there. I mean, like, you can't expect much.
Yeah, he hated the blue team, which is so funny because you're going to really have to suck to do worse than the blue team. Which is not this next scene. This next scene does really well. This is the neck.
This is a
planner board on your neck.
Yeah, this is the necklace one. And so they were all doing that sort of like nude color, you know. And so they're walking down. Rakan's, I don't remember what the first one looked like. The first one was nice. It was perfectly nice. But Rakan's or Rakan, whatever his name is, his looked like a little culty. It looked like the sort of thing that, like, if you join a cult, you now have to wear this uniform. It was like high fashion cult. You know?
Yeah. You mean Afa?
No, not Afa. Afa was on Neck Ruffles. This was...
Oh, yeah, I'm on Neck Ruffles.
Oh, no, this was before Neck Ruffles. It was the necklace thing. And basically, like, Rakan, his was just like this big, formless... It looked nice, but it was sort of like a formless muumuu tunic. I don't know what you call it.
Oh, yeah, that big tunic thing, and it was like had seams running down the front.
Yeah, it was just like this
big, that was bad.
Shapeless thing.
Was bad.
It just looked like something that you have to wear when you join a cult, you know?
Yeah.
And then, Jamal, he
or the hospital, you know, like you're about to get surgery.
It's like hospital gown cult.
Yeah, cult. It's a cult hospital.
It's like someone was in a hospital, joined a cult, and then went to a cocktail party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, even that's better than stupid Frankie's story.
Yeah, and maybe she even went outside and then came back inside.
Okay, who do you have next?
Well, Jamal. And then, by the way, this is the same group that where Jamal had his... This was the big duvet jacket thing, where he basically wrapped a duvet around his mom.
Yeah, so this was like a big... Which, you know, is funny because I saw posted from Fashion Week this year, someone actually did that. It's like a bed. Mm-hmm. It looks like a bed. It's like a comforter is a jacket, and then the collar piece thing is big pillows, which, yeah. I mean... I wear my bed all day, so I don't know why someone else shouldn't. But.
I liked the volume and the size and the look of it. It looked like a little shoddy. There were definitely like little strings coming out. I liked the volume, but at the same time, I was like, it does sort of look like she's just wearing a duvet. But I still appreciate it. I thought it was a pretty cool thing.
I thought it was fucking terrible. And then the shoe covers, he like over the shoes to cover the shoes. He was a mess.
She looked like she like literally had just like stepped through a drum or something, and like it had wrapped around her feet. And you know, it just that looked bad.
Yeah,
but, So now we go on to Neck Ruffles, which is Tessa's team. And so Afa comes out. Afa, I liked Afa's jacket he had going on with it. Like, I liked Afa's look.
I couldn't tell what it was because it's just white kind of capri-like pants with a summer top, like strappy mm-hmm. top. And then this jacket that kind of swoops around.
Yeah.
Almost like you're swooping on a cape, which looked really cool. But I don't think it comes off. I think when it's not that, it just hangs off of you like a train.
Oh, maybe.
Which is kind of neat.
Well, he likes trains. He did a huge train last week.
There you go.
Yeah.
So someone with a fear of flying. Okay, so then we get Tessa, who's just an off-the-shoulder sweater. I didn't get it.
Yeah. I thought it was nice, but it was just, I thought it was like solid. I don't think it was amazing, but that it looked good, especially compared to, you know, shoulder horns, especially compared to Hester. Yeah. It was good. And then you had Sebastian's is really cool. It was like all these sort of like vertical panels. It sort of looked like a streamer, but I say that with no shade. I say that in a totally positive way. It was like, it looked really cool.
Yeah, like one of those wind chimes, those kind of new looking wind chimes that.
Yeah, or those things where it's like two pieces of cardboard, and then you can expand them, and then there's like streamer material in between them.
That's like, nicer than me. I put an air filter, so.
Yeah, there's, yeah, it could be.
But in a pretty way.
In a pretty air filter. Like, you know, yeah. These are just descriptions.
Like a vacuum filter. They're not laden with judgment.
Yeah.
You know, circular, like vacuum filter.
That's yeah, exactly.
Much better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we go over to Team Terrible, Terrible Team. Oh, my God. This is so sad.
You know, Frankie. So Frankie's comes down, and after all that talk about don't cover up the chest feathers, Frankie's lady is wearing that pleather skirt. But the issue is that she has this weird blazer thing that like covers up almost all the chest feathers. And on top of that, there's like a vertical stripe that goes right down the middle. So that's like, it's like a totally unnecessary feature. It's like you're putting unnecessary things in the field of vision where those chest feathers are supposed to be. It was just made no sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't. And then she has like a line of fabric coming down the cleave.
Yeah, that's
it's really bad. Really, yeah. Really bad. And then the skirt doesn't even fit. It looks terrible. But then,
oh, yeah,
even worse, COVID. Oh my God.
No. This thing.
No. It's terrible. It's like a gold baby doll dress. It looks really bad. I'm staring at it right now.
It looks like it was stapled together. It was just hideous.
Yeah, poor thing. And then Renee, who, you know, we're expecting more from because she was in the top last time, but this is really bad too. It's just like tight white pants and then a little bustier too, but hers is cut lower than Frankie's was. And it's the same kind of thing, like an off the shoulder. Although now that I look at these, I guess this is kind of a hard one to get. Like, what are you going to do? Send her down topless?
Well, but the thing is this though. So Renee did something really strange. She put her model in some sort of like black sweater thing that like, it was like this one big sort of like tube of fabric or something that goes behind the back. So when you put your arms in it, your arms are held behind your back. Like, so it's almost like a straight jacket. So it's like totally not functional. And everyone was like, and Brandon's like, I hope she doesn't have to blow her nose. And I was like, it's true. Like if she wants to like lift her forearms a centimeter, she can't.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty bad. So what a way to end that. So then we get to judging. And
Necro.
Carly's like, what an experience. I don't think we've ever seen a show like that, guys, have we? I'm like, you've been here two episodes, Carly.
I know. It's a brand new season of Top Chef.
Get used to it.
I mean, Project Runway. It's like, shut up, Carly. It's not Top Chef.
She's like, welcome back to American Idol, new season, guys. Shut up, Carly.
We're now mad at her for our mistakes. Shut up, Carly. So Neckruffles and Batgills are on the top, and the winning team is Neckruffles, which was the one that had that was Tessa's team.
And I think they deserve to win, but God, it made me so mad because Tessa's just like her face,
yeah,
just like, ugh, yeah. Okay, so they win, and then Carly, let's see, so they keep the winning and the losing team, yeah, on this stage.
Losing team is of course Chess Feathers, Team Frankie, Covid, and Renee.
Yeah. Yeah, obvi.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Carly's like, who took the lead? And Tess is like, me. I can be a little bossy. I'm like, how about you get a little sewy? How about that, miss?
How about you throw your bra shirt into a fire? How about that?
Yeah, how about you put on a fake rain parka over your fake bikini?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Lady?
How about you sew your own things instead of having Sebastian do it?
Yeah. So, yeah. So, Elaine is like, there's no such thing as a bossy woman, just a boss woman. Okay, that said, yours is the worst out of the three, gotta say. I love that Elaine's so bitchy, because she looks like she's going to be so nice. She's always got a big smile on her face, and then she's like a total bitch ass. I love it.
Yeah, and then Nina's like, I love the skirt. The way it's done is very organic.
And Tessa's like, well, I designed it, but to be honest, Sebastian made it. I mean, he also made this bag in 30 minutes. So there's another twist, because she's not just an ultimate villain. She's like actually giving someone credit, which really bugs me.
Yeah, not even Nina can believe it. She's like, crazy, crazy.
And then they start talking about Rafa's pants. Carly's Rafa. Like, love pant. And Nina's like, the piping on the pant, the cut on the pant is perfection.
I love the pant. I love the cuff. The buttons are driving me mad. I love the pant.
Perfection.
When I grew up in a small town in South America, I was like, I hope to someday go to the big city and see a pant like this that I could love, and I love this pant.
She's very Nina today. So then Carly's like, oh my God, did you even do wool covers on your shoes? And he's like, yeah. And Brandon's like, oh my God, I have to give you a hands up. Hands up, hands up, which means high five to everybody else. But he's like, hands up. Now that is how to cover a shoe. And then he like gives a bitchy look to the camera because they're all watching the back. Jamal's like, like that, and everyone's like, he just shaded you, right? Yeah. He's like, yeah, everybody.
That was great. I love that moment. And then Elaine, see, here's where Elaine sort of is annoying me, because Elaine's like, you know what, Sebastian, this may be my favorite dress of the season so far. I'm like, bitch, it is two episodes old. What are you talking about?
She and Carly want to pretend like they've been here for 90 years. You know, she's like, haberdashery. No, ma'am, that is Tim Gunn. You back down. So, Nina's like, this fabric looks like it's hanging off of her flesh, like it is flesh hanging off. I was like, that sounds disgusting, but I see what you mean. Sebastian's is really good.
Well, also, she is wearing a fabric over her flesh that is directly hanging off of her flesh. So that's pretty...
Yeah.
I'm glad Nina figured... He's like, I just realized the way dresses work, it's fabric on your body that hangs, and I love the hang. I love
it's
the
almost
fit.
Like she got up today and put on a dress. Like, thanks, Nina. So Sebastian pays Tessa back. He's like, yes, I did it, but it's because Tessa's such a good leader. And I'm like, okay, that's enough. You did this yourself.
Yeah.
So then Carly's like, all right, let's talk about the sucky ones.
Yeah,
and Renee goes, yeah, well, Frankie came up with this idea of a wealthy woman, but we're basically unorganized and chaotic, and we know it sucks. So anything else? I've got 9 kids at home. Let's get to it, okay? Who are we kicking off today? Who's grounded?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so they're basically like, this does not feel futuristic at all. The clothes feel old. That's what Brandon was saying. And Nina's like, this is one of the most exciting conceptual challenges where you get to decide a sneak peek at the future. And you're giving me a woman that is rich and wants to go out to a club. I don't love that.
So then Carly's like, Renee, yours looks like a straitjacket. She's like, Renee's just beat down. She's just like, whatever. Just say whatever. I don't even care anymore. Yeah. Then Nina goes, she has wings and you clip the wings. And Carly's like, oh, that was good. Like, they're all patting each other on the back with their like nasty things that they say.
Wow. What a great metaphor. What a very simple metaphor to use about wings.
So glad I think they're also proud of Nina for like really bringing up the bitchiness now that Kors is gone.
Well, my favorite Nina moment was that when they get to Kovid starts to cry. He's like, ooh, and Nina goes, I'm sorry. Please don't. No, there's no need to cry.
There's
please.
No need to Come cry.
On. There's no crying in fashion.
And he's like, but I wanted to show you what I was capable of. And Brandon's like, it's clear to me this isn't your best work and it's not your best. So go ahead. Just tell us what
Give
would
us
be
your
best
sob story.
Work. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, growing up, my grandmother and my mother would take care of me. And, you know, I would sit with women in kindergarten and people would make fun of me. And, you know, it's the women and the women. They're like, okay, enough. We're all gay here. We've all been through it.
Brandon goes, yeah. Guess what? This industry is like that kindergarten room. Okay? Sorry. That's just how it is. And I was like, yes!
Nina's like...
Like, they went out to drinks afterwards and were like, I will not have any more crying, Nina. I cannot take that. She's like, I know! Can you believe it? So this
Nina's
time they...
Nina's like, give me your lunch money.
So they're like, stop crying. And he's like... And he stops immediately. Like, he's very easily bossed around. So he totally stops crying. And then we move on to Frankie. So Elaine's like, Frankie, this is your second chance we've given you. And here you are in the bottom again. Okay.
And she's like, you know, we sent someone home last week who did head-to-toe basic black. And then you just gave us the same thing. So, bye. Yeah.
Take off the jacket. So then they check it out, and Brandon's like, yeah, in life and in fashion, you don't get as many minutes as you've had to explain yourself, okay?
Yeah.
You either get the look and you get the fit, or you don't, and that's all that matters, okay? Kindergarten Kobe, everyone understand me.
Yeah, because Frankie, when she takes the jacket off, she's like, you know, this is just, I just made a bustier that I've like made a million times before. I just didn't have enough time to fit it. I'm like, Frankie, if you've made it a million times before, why did you not have time to fit it? Like, shouldn't you have been able to whip it up? Like, that, like, you ran out of time thing, you can't do that 2 weeks in a row. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Brandon's like, I'm going to need medication by the time this season's over.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, COVID and, like, Frankie are crying backstage. And they're both like, he's like, I don't want you to go home. And she's like, I don't want you to go home either. I don't want you to go home. No, I don't want you to go home. I don't want you to go home. And Renee's just staring at them like, you fucking assholes. You want me to go home, don't you? What am I, chopped liver?
Yeah, they're still at the point in the show where everybody's just kowtowing to the criers. It's like, oh, they're crying. Let's hug them. No, fuck that. Stop it. Enough is enough. You know, man up already, both of you.
Yeah.
So then we see the judges go give their close-up looks, which is really funny just because you get to hear more Nina. Yeah. They're looking at Sebastian's, which they all agree is amazing. But then Carly's like, I was sure Sebastian was the winner, but now that I look up close, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Nina loves Afa's pants. The tailoring of this pant is incredible.
The
I love
pockets,
it.
The pants, the zipper.
I love
She loves
the pant
with some pockets.
I love the zipper. And then when it gets to Tessa's, Nina's like, I think there's a little bit of a proportion issue. And then they scrunch up the sleeves. And Nina goes like, oh, so much better. So much. We need a little help there. There we go. Now you could carry your bag. You can be fashionable. You can go to a party.
So then we move on to the worst. And we see Renee's, and Carly's like, I'm shocked. I mean, she was so good last week. This is like the resale section of the poor people store. And Brandon's like, where would you buy that? What poor person store would you even buy that? I mean, it sucks even for poor people. And Nina, and Elaine's like, Halloween store, okay? And Nina goes, yeah, Halloween. She went from zero. No, she went from hero to zero. And Carly's like, good one. That was good. That was the best one all season, Nina.
Wow, she is so good with her zingers. Wow. That's the way the cookie crumbles. Wow, Nina, she is like a genius.
So then... COVID. Elaine's like, this is the worst. This is bad bridesmaids. And Nina goes, there's no fixing it. There's no scrunching up the sleeve on this one.
Brandon goes, the exits are here and here, and you could go.
You can go.
Yeah.
It's all furious. So basically, they bring them back on stage, and they really let them have it in this one. I was damn. And then they let Elaine do it, which is so funny. Well, first, the winner is Sebastian.
Mm-hmm.
And Nina's like, por favor, necesito leche. Which, whatever. Very nice, whatever she said.
Does that mean really please, I need milk?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, thank you.
You really showed us the future.
Yeah. And then Brandon's... who says... Elaine does hers, right? Elaine's like, Frankie, the thing we were most excited about was your POV to dress real women, and what we've seen are clothes that do not celebrate a woman's body. Time's up, girl. Bye.
Yeah.
Go. Get out. And Frankie's like, okay.
Yeah, so Frankie and Kovi start crying in each other's arms, and then of course La Bamba plays again. That's, I think, the new thing, that they're going to play at La Bamba when people get eliminated. And then they go backstage, and it's at some point Frankie's like, my design spirit has been defeated. I'm like, shut up. Okay. your design spirit is fine, okay?
COVID goes back and he's like, did you get kicked off? And he's like, no. No. And they all hug him. I was like,
God, see, so dramatic. Kicked off
next week, sucker. So that's dramatic. It for that. You want to check in with some Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Yeah, let's check in with it. The big scandal on this week's Atlanta was that basically... they're basically like Eva's bridesmaids turned on her at the wedding. And now they have gone straight to Marlo to talk shit about her.
Yes. Her best friend, Shamita, went to Marlo and started telling her all this shit. Like, she doesn't pay her bills. Okay. So Marlo, of course, calls Nene and Tanya. I don't know why Tanya, but she brings Nene and Tanya over. And she's like, listen, I've got to tell you what happened. And they're not really believing her because Marlo's such a mess, you know? She's like, no, seriously, let's call her right now on my phone. So they get her on speakerphone, and Shamita's like, oh, yeah, Shamita, she doesn't even live in that house. It's owned by someone else. And she doesn't even have a car. She's, you know, that's a rental or something.
Yeah. Yeah, because Marlo was saying, like, yeah, they're renting. They have to get out ASAP. And the streets are saying her car is a CPA number. I'm like, is her car an accountant? I don't understand what that means, a CPA number.
Yeah, I don't know what she was trying to get at. If that was like a car you buy at auction, you know, like a repossessed car. So I don't know what she was talking about. But
I have to say also, Marlo has really crazy martini glasses. She serves Nene and Tanya these martinis in these... These glasses had stems that were like 2 feet tall. They were so bizarre. and of course, by the way, also, Tanya got there last. And when she sees Nene, she's like, hi, you look gorgeous. You're so gorgeous.
What are we going to talk about?
So guess what?
And then they try and drag her down into the mud with them.
Yeah. And so, by the way, and guess what Marlo decides that she says that they should do? She's like, you guys, we should send a pizza to her address to see if it's real. I'm like, wow, you are really...
That's like, really a stretch.
This is already stealing from Potomac, the real estate intrigue. But now that you're going to send a pizza, I mean, this is full on Potomac.
Yeah, that's a bad sign for this season. Although this episode I did find kind of
entertaining. I thought this was actually a pretty funny episode.
I love when this cast gets messy because no one gets messier than these people. I mean, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, especially because, we'll get to that later. So Eva hears... Somehow, you know that some producer told her that Marlo was doing this. or she just knew that Shamita was going around talking shit all over town. Yeah. So she calls Candy to have lunch, to do some. Candy called it later. She's like, I was wondering why she called me to lunch. She was doing damage control because she knew this shit was going around.
Yeah.
So that's what she was doing. And she's explaining it in the best way. She's like, yeah, things didn't go well. Now people are talking bad about me. And, you know, it's just a shame that my bridesmaids couldn't be there for me.
Yeah.
But doesn't really mention what she did. And just from watching her, we know that she's been a fucking monster, right?
Yeah, she has, clearly. And by the way, Shanita apparently choked the wedding planner, which I'm like, why are we not getting to see this? This is already way more interesting than half the stuff we've been watching on this show.
Well, it's interesting is that we saw that because they showed a clip of it. So they had it taped where Shamita's going crazy over the wedding planner and like bitching about her and stuff. So I guess they just cut out the drama. I think Shamita was like doing an audition tape and they didn't want to give too much airtime to her or something.
So Eva has this whole story that they're moving from their one rental to another because they want to buy a house and they want to get a turnkey house, but it's actually more cost effective to get a house that needs renovation. So right now they're going to move to a different rental and then they're going to buy a house to renovate. And on top of that, her quote unquote donor, that's what she calls Kevin McCall, her ex, he has apparently been stalking her, and so they've had to move 5 times because of him. So Candy the entire time is like, she's like, see now, Riley, you have to come listen to this because this is bullshit.
Yeah, she's like, something's fishy there.
Yeah,
she's so
like, come back to the wedding.
Yeah. So over at Marlo's dropped all this stuff, and now Shanita's dropped all this stuff. So Nini's like, I'm going to be the one to tell her.
Yeah.
She's closest with me. I was like, oh, because you deigned to show up to her wedding last week and barely, monster, yeah, tried to take all the attention away from it and then gave like a 2-line speech after all this time. Whatever, exactly. Nini.
That was her way of saying, I want to be the one to have the scene where I tell her. So meanwhile, also, we should mention there was a scene where Nini and Greg sit down and Nini's being like, she's basically like, you've been really, really grouchy. And Greg's like, well, you know, this whole thing, it's been really hard on both of us, you know, mainly me because I've got cancer and you have a boutique that I guess is giving you some issues, but I've got, like I said before, cancer. Anyway, and Nini's like, oh, well, do you realize what I go through? Do you realize what I go through? And I'm like, Nini, this is just not an argument you can win.
Because
like,
I know get that it.
She's going through shit. I don't take that away, but like, this is not a good look.
Yeah, because she sat him down and was doing the Nini talk quiet voice where she's going to try and look good on camera. And she tells us, she's like, I would leave him, but I know that everybody's just going to call me a bad person for leaving him while he has cancer. I was like, yeah, Nini.
There was also a scene where
would be a bad person if you left him when he has cancer.
Yeah, there were two other scenes of note, which is that Candy and Todd have decided to go through with their surrogates. They're going to have another child, even though Riley doesn't want another sibling, but what else is new? Riley never wants siblings. And then,
well, she's the one who has to take care of them. Yeah. You know, it's easy to say you want more kids when you're never home and you just make your fucking daughter raise your kids. I mean, I'm sure that that is easier for you guys, jerks. I say that Riley does have a say in this. I'm standing for Riley.
Well, if Riley doesn't want to take care of the kids, Riley should do something else with her life rather than sit around at home.
Yeah, she will soon because she's about to move, I'm sure, because she's of age now.
She is of age. She looks gorgeous also, by the way. So, also, Portia, she's going to be throwing a stupid gender reveal party. And so she meets up with, like, someone who, like, like our party planner for this, is this party being planned by Papa John's? Like, I did not know what was going on with this
duo. I wrote
down
Sonic. like, what are those uniforms? It's like Pet Boys Auto Parts or something. The weirdest uniforms.
Yeah, so Portia's going to do, like, a carnival circus-themed gender reveal party, which sounds like a nightmare. And they're going to have, like, jugglers and clowns. And Portia's like, and poppers! We need poppers! Which, in the gay community, is a very different thing. Very, very different.
Yeah. And Dennis looks so pissed, because Portia's like, okay, we want circus scene. I want a Ferris wheel and horses, a swimming pool, sky gliders,
Gumbo.
She's just saving all this shit. And he's eating the popcorn from the popcorn machine, like, here I am paying for this shit too. I might as well eat it, you know? Yeah. And so he goes, they said, well, what's your budget for this? She goes, well, just add up everything we just said and tell him how much. It's like, oh,
yeah, it's like,
add it up, add it up.
Yeah.
So he tries to say in a nice way, he's like, well, we haven't signed that prenup yet. And she's like, okay, well, then sign the prenup. Bring on the prenup. And now she's at least finally saying, well, I have stuff too, so I don't want him to get my stuff either.
Yeah.
Which I've been waiting to hear. I needed to hear that as a Porsche fan.
Yeah. They then have like sort of a long conversation about prenups and moving in the city versus not the city, which is, it's ultimately like not a very interesting conversation. And it makes me wonder, because, you know, I'm constantly wondering why Real Housewives of New York just is so much better than all the other Real Housewives. And I think part of it is that we don't have to sit through too many dull conversations with like dull husbands and boyfriends, you know, and domestic.
We've already heard this a million times.
Yeah. Like we don't have to sit through these dull domestic conversations about child rearing or going to the hospital or prenups or moving or whatever. Like when they talk, they're talking about like, they're just talking about each other, or they're talking about like outlandish things like starting a cabaret show or, well, learning how to swim is not outlandish, but like for some reason with Ramona, it's just like hilarious, you know?
Yeah. Well, this one, Portia just keeps, Portia and Dennis, I don't know, are going to be a very good couple because they just don't listen to each other. And then they just keep pushing the conversation off to another day. Like, we've already had this fight. Portia said, you're going to move to my area and you're going to give up this life. And he's like, okay, finally she gets him to agree to that. And now he's like, well, we'll do that for a while, but then we're going to find a place in the city. And she's like, no. No. And now they're finding, it's like the same thing, and they're not listening to each other. So they're like, well, let's just blow $100,000 on a party. And
yeah. In we'll some think random about it later. McMansion.
Yeah.
So now we go to the big thing, which is the OLG the sequel opening party or whatever. So we see Candy, all her aunts are there, Weenie's there, the whole gang. So everyone shows up, and Eva's there, and of course Tanya's like, oh, look at you, look at that honeymoon glow. I thought you were stunning before, but now you look even more gorgeous. Oh!
I love when the guy's telling the aunts that they have to do a cooking demonstration. Bertha is so pissed. She's just like, she's giving him a dirty look the whole time.
Like, no.
It's like, we getting paid for this.
Yeah.
So then, so they all start getting together, and all the girls are being like, hi, 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 being like really, really nice. But we know what's about to happen, right? Because this is a setup. And, you know, Nene comes in 2 hours late or whatever, as usual. Yeah, and Marlo comes in even after that. So Tanya has time where she can pull Eva aside. So she does. She's like, I have to talk to you.
I shouldn't be saying this, but I can't help it. Listen, Nene, you know, early bird gets the worm.
Yeah. And also, it's the right thing to do, because basically she knows, Nene said, I'll be the one to tell her. But of course, Nene didn't bother calling Eva. She's waiting till it's on camera in front of everybody so she can give Marlo a chance to pick this girl apart bone by bone. So Tanya did the nice thing as a friend by warning her what's coming down the pike.
Yeah, right? Basically, she's like, well, I was at Marlo's house, and there's this girl who got on the phone, and she talked about, you had bad credit, you rented a house, and, you know, I'm sorry, I have to break this to you, I'm sorry.
And she's like, well, I did rent a house, because my, you know, she starts freaking out, basically, because they're giving up her protective order stuff, and she's not liking that. So she's like, okay, thanks for telling me, bye, I'm leaving. And the producer tells her as she's leaving, I'm so sorry. Because they knew that this was one of her things. She's like, I have a stalker. He can't know where I'm living. I'm going to be shooting in a place that I'm not really living, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they let all this happen on camera because they're housewives producers and they're shady as fuck. And that's what they're paid to do, right?
Yeah. So Eva drives off in a huff. She's all mad. And I wrote down in my notes, I was like, oh, Nene's going to be mad that she didn't get to have that scene. And sure enough, Nene comes in, and Tanya's like, oh, well, I told Eva what happened. And Nene's like, first of all, why are you telling Eva anything? That was not your place to tell it. She's more concerned about, like, she's less concerned about how Eva's feeling and more concerned about that Tanya said it. She's like, how good friends are you guys? I'm like, well, last time I checked, Eva and Tanya did theoretically, you know, host a trip to Japan. So I think they're pretty good friends.
Yeah, Nene's like, you're not even good friends. That was my job. And then Marlo's like, what would you tell her? So they're mad that they didn't get to confront Eva on camera about this, which is, they're such gross. They're gross fucking vultures, you know? And I don't care what Nene's going through at this point. She's an asshole. Nene is an asshole. She always has been, and she always will be. Get rid of her.
And also, Tanya is basically, like, I forget what the word that you said, but it, like, they know they blood in the water or something. They smell blood in the water because Tanya's like, I'm sorry if I jumped the gun, I'm sorry. And then we find out that Cynthia is the one yesterday who told Tanya, oh, well, you know, cha. If you've heard this information, you probably should tell Eva. And so now Tanya's done this at Cynthia's, like, with Cynthia's encouragement, and now Nini and Marla are coming down on Tanya, and Cynthia's just sitting there quietly, like,
Typical Cynthia, says nothing. But that's also typical Tanya to be like, oh my god, I have something to say about someone. I'm going to go to lunch with someone else to see if I should tell that person what somebody said about them. It's like, oh god. And it's like that girl, and like, she would be played by Brittany Murphy if this was Clueless. You know what I mean? She's kind of like that. Ooh! Yeah. And she really, R.I.P. Brittany Murphy. So, just thought about Brittany Murphy being dead. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, you're the one who brought her up. You brought her up.
Well, so she's like that. She's like that character in Clueless.
Yeah. You have a virgin. So Nina, I can now keep calling her Nina now. I love the pant. I love the house fraud. I love the bad credit. So Nina calls Eva and she basically gets Eva to, you know, come back so that they can have a conversation off camera with no mics. And in the meantime,
right, which means Nini goes over there wearing her mic, and the camera hides behind a car. I mean, these people,
so, aka fully on camera and with a mic. So, yeah. And meanwhile, Tanya is just at the table saying, "Eva doesn't live in the house. She said she has this house and that house and this house and that house." I was like, just fully just Canadian accenting out. And then Yovana, by the way, is there, and Yovana just goes, "Fraud."
I didn't notice this until someone posted it on our Twitter. So thank you for posting this, hot person. You're very hot person on Twitter who posted this. He posted this thing, and it was her caption. It's Yovana, and it says under, "That bitch from Clark."
That's funny.
Oh.
So Nini is still trying to convince Eva to come back, and she's like, listen, it's a safe place. We all have your back. No one is talking shit about you. And then it cuts to Marla going, she's a full-fledged lesbian in L.A. She has girlfriends.
And then it cuts back to Nini, and she's like, no, I'm totally here from you. I just want you to defend yourself. And then her husband is there, and he's like, I don't think you guys understand what's going on. Like, we have to, like, go house to house with aliases because this motherfucker. And then Eva tells us, one time she went on her balcony, and he's just standing there in the dark. You know? It's fucking creepy.
Yeah.
So also, Eva goes in, and she's pissed. And Marla's like, glad you're back. Heard you left.
By the way, and before Nini went out to have that conversation in the parking lot, Nini tells the group, she goes, I have to go. And everyone goes, no. And then Nini goes, outside. I have to go outside. And Tanya goes, yes. She's like so excited. She's staying. And she looks gorgeous. I just love how like excited Tanya is by anything.
Yeah,
free refills.
Old lady gang. So then Marlo's like, yeah, glad you're back. Heard you left. And Eva's like, let's just talk about this elephant. She's like, I love talking about elephants. So she basically tells him the story that she told us. That this girl turned on her at the wedding, and she has a protective order for safety, and this guy's following her around and stalking her, and she's scared for her children, and that's why she's not going to be honest about where she lives. And then Marla goes to Nini, she goes to Cynthia, right? She's like, she's lying, Cynthia. Oh, no, Candy. She goes, she's lying. You know she is. Mm-hmm. What the fuck do you care, Marla?
Yeah.
What is your life? What is your life other than having 5-foot-tall martini glasses? You give nothing to this fucking show. You won't even be honest with who you're dating or what kind of hoe you are or your price sheet. Shut up, Marlo. You give nothing to the show except tearing down other people. Fuck you and fuck your friend Nini, too.
Yeah.
Get out.
But no, I'm like, wait, no. But I also feel like Marlo's the only one trying to make an entertaining show this season, so she can stay in my mind.
With other people's shit.
Yeah.
You know, she's making stuff with other people's shit. She's not doing anything entertaining on her own.
Well,
because
no one else is offering anything up worthwhile to be entertaining, so she's just got to find it somewhere. Hey, it's an improvement over last season when she started shit about a floor mat, you know?
She's terrible. She's fucking terrible.
I also have to say,
she's a terrible human being.
She is, but, you know, I still appreciate her being there. Also, Shamari was also there. She's actually a full-fledged housewife, and she still has not really contributed anything, and yet I'm liking her more and more for some reason, and she's just...
You're funny.
she's like, she's just sitting there talking about the wedding, and she they were talking about her at the wedding, and she's like, listen, I had a 3-drink minimum. They're like, don't you mean maximum? She's like, yes, maximum.
So then Marlo tells us, oh, she's lying. She's been posting on Insta. We know what appearances she's going to be at. She's always saying where she is. So that guy's not stalking you anymore, baby. It's over now. It's like, oh,
shut up, Marlo.
I've said my piece, so I'll let it stand.
So next week is the season finale, and I let out an audible gasp when I saw that Kenya Moore was going to be back, because I didn't think we'd see her again this season. So I saw Kenya Moore, and I let out a gasp of excitement. I'm not going to lie, people. I gasped.
I think next week we should move Project Runway. Keep him on this day, but do the shorter one of Project Runway, just do a full Real Housewives of Atlanta, because I'm going to go off next week. NeNe is okay.
Yeah, I'm already going off on the recap. I'm going off on the same things.
That Eva is finally realizing what a snake NeNe is. And she's like, okay, you know, I wouldn't expect Marlo to be anything other than trash. But for NeNe to be sitting there talking about this, not even warning me that this is coming, is bullshit, right?
Yeah.
So then we see the clip for next week, and we find out the reason NeNe's not talking to anybody anymore is because they think that she was set up by having Kenya there, and no one told her that Kenya...
Yeah.
You just did that to your friend right now, today, NeNe. You did it right in today's episode.
Wait, what do you mean?
She didn't tell Eva that she was being ambushed.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing also. I mean, NeNe is such a narcissist. We see in the previews for next week is that Cynthia has a party and she invites Kenya. And Cynthia doesn't like that Kenya's there and that Cynthia didn't... NeNe doesn't like that Kenya's there and that Cynthia didn't give her heads up. And we see NeNe saying, this could be the end of our friendship. And I'm like, you are so petty that you're going to let that end a friendship. I can imagine being annoyed for sure. Be like, you should have told me or whatever. But you're going to end a friendship over that because someone didn't deign to tell you. Get out of here, NeNe. You know, ever since you've been back, Atlanta has has fallen apart, okay? And you're the problem here, so get out.
Yeah, get out. Sick of you. You suck. Fucking get out and go to your next show that's going to be canceled in 5 minutes. Get out.
Yeah, no, I don't like this. I don't know, it was funny because there were parts of this season where I felt like old NeNe was there and I was like, oh my God, I love NeNe again. I'm back on NeNe. But she is just she just thinks her shit is too important and it's not. It's
sick
not.
Of her.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's finish this up. Let's wrap this up. Everybody, thank you so much for being with us today. We will be back tomorrow with some Vanderpump Rules. We'll be on TV Party like we are today. If you guys miss these TV Party things, go over and catch them on video over at Crappins on Demand on Patreon. And go buy tickets for our live shows.
Yeah. Next week, Portland and Phoenix. Let's sell those shows out. Okay. Sorry.
Do
sell
it.
Them out.
Okay, everybody, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.